Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Morning, rise and shine. You're on with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? We had a special week last week. We started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and we talked about lying in a relationship. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What were the signs that, you know, we said that we should know a person is lying? Well, they talked about when a person stutters. Oh, my goodness gracious, when they're trying to figure out what they want to say and all the words are just not coming out right. Oh, we talked about the fact that the story changes. Yes, there's a shift in the storyline. And we can't figure out what in the world they're talking about. Yes, yes, yes. And we talked about some of the lies that got told. Yeah, such as, I paid the bill. Only to find out later that you're sitting up in the dark. So you know at that point, the bill wasn't really paid after all. What about the story that I'm only seeing you? There is no one else. Wow. And then you got to the hospital, and old boy was sitting up next to you when you were acting all funny, and you were looking around trying to make that quick conversation. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Boy, lying in a relationship, that's a tough one. That's a tough one to get out of. So my advice to you is don't even try it. But we're continuing our conversation today because we got to go further into this lying business. Okay? Well, we could not complete at all a Monday morning properly if we don't get that switch tip from Sean Keith. And switch tip number 80, let the Holy Spirit do what it does. Oh, my goodness gracious. Listen, there are so many ways to quench the Holy Spirit, and we only end up with problems at the end of the day. Yes, the Holy Spirit is designed to be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and to advise you, counsel you, guide you, stop you, bring to your remembrance all of the scripture that you read so that you can make the right decision. and what do we do with it? Oh, my goodness. We walk around, and we do whatever it is we want to do, like the Holy Spirit doesn't even exist. Oh, my goodness. When it's talking to us, and it tells us, don't go there, we end up right there anyhow. How do we do that? Ooh, God allows you to kind of do what you want. He does allow your spirit to take over. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So, you know, the advice last week was to let the Holy Spirit do what he's designed to do. Don't mess up your life and throw back such a wonderful gift. Come on, people. Let's get this done properly. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday Church Folk Day rolled around. And, did we have some stories. How about the COVID party? Yes, where people were purposely gathering together, breathing in one another's germs, drinking from one another's glasses and beer bottles, hugging and kissing, so that they could intentionally get COVID, so that they could recover and get some kind of benefit from recovering. And that means that they would be able to get a card in order to work. Well, you know what? The most illest thing you could even imagine to do when you may not even make it. Yeah, who says you're going to make it to even work? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, you can see that's not a good and well-thought-out plan. Well, we talked about the Texas mom-to-be who was killed by the dad-to-be. Yes, after she told him that she was expecting. Well, another story we're covering where dad does not want the child, wants to pay child support. Yes, he already had a child support order for $250 a month where he was covering four children ages 1 through 5. Yes, can you imagine? And here she is making her grand announcement. Well, he kidnapped her, took her off, and he killed her. And oh my, no new baby, no baby mama. This is how these things are being handled these days. And the biggest thing that was such a sad part of the story is she notified her girlfriend that if something happened to her, this is my location. So clearly she's dealing with a person who she's familiar with being abusive. And, you know, we move forward in these relationships, not taking the hint that we need to be on the other side of the fence. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, that last story we covered was the individual who had a long list of felonies under his belt. And he then drove the SUV through the parade, killing the dancing granny, injuring 48 other people, and having been accused of doing this previously, this very thing. But that was Sunday. He just posted bail on Friday. Yes. So this was his MO. And for a long list of criminalistic acts that he was, you know, charged with, he should have never been able to walk the streets. And how did the judge put him back out there? Only the judge understands that move. Well, we asked the question of the panel. You know, everybody likes to blame the enemy. But as we look at scripture, our flesh and spirit plays every bit a part of our actions. We have every bit of control over what we do. And we can't blame the enemy for these things. No, the devil did not make you do it. You know, we've had this conversation before, but, you know, you can't convince some people that, you know, you do have control over the things you do. The enemy can only tempt you, but the enemy can't make you do anything. And the Bible says so. So we whipped out some scripture last week, and we laid it out for you. Yes, it was laid out so well. And if you didn't, you know, quite understand it, you can always go back and listen. That's the beauty of being on its due time. You can always go back and listen. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around, and we had a blast of a time as we talked about, you know, all of the preparation for Thanksgiving Day and, you know, some of the things that we bring to Thanksgiving Day gathering that really don't need to be there. And, I mean, we really had a ball. The women of worship, Vivian did come through, as always, with her socially conscious segment. And we had our Faith Over Fear with Pastor Charlene. Yes, yes, even on Thanksgiving theme. Yeah, Pastor Charlene can give Faith Over Fear on a lot of subjects. She's been doing it for a year and a half. All righty. Well, Thursday was Thanksgiving Day, and we did gather for our Thanksgiving Day prayer. And Friday, we did the same, our Thanksgiving Day prayer, post-Thanksgiving Day prayer, just thanking God for all that we had on Thursday and, you know, just blessing our lives that we were able to come through another year of blessings. So that's how we spent our week. Well, Sunday, yesterday, last night, we had our word prayer project, and the theme was self-care, self-treatment. Yes. How do we take care of ourselves? You know, most of us are so busy taking care of other people, we really don't take time to take care of ourselves. So we want to make sure, you know, we consider how we take care of ourselves socially. Yes, there's a social self-care, a mental self-care, emotional self-care, physical self-care, and spiritual self-care. And ooh, the prayer list, the requests that came through last night were, as always, phenomenal. You know, helps you understand, you know, what people are thinking and feeling and having a desire. And, you know, we've been going to God. That was the eighth week of our prayer session on Sunday. And I have to tell you, the requests have been out of this world. Yeah. They have been so deep. It really shows that, you know, the requesters are really thinking, are really tapping into the things that, you know, God would want for our life. And they have been lifting up, you know, their loved ones, coworkers, friends, family, themselves, you know. And I tell you, I'm watching and I'm hearing how God is answering prayer. And I don't think a lot of people are understanding how this prayer is really shifting. You know, a lot of people know we don't have 35, 40 people, but the prayer requests are so heavy. And just like I said, you know, each week, someone coming back and saying, hey, you know, I saw, hey, I noticed, hey, this one is not doing this anymore. You know, yes, yes, it is fantastic and most of all phenomenal. And we're giving God thanks that he has called us to the task to pray together. on a whole different level. And if you have not joined us yet, or if you're not joining us, you're missing it. You are truly missing it. I mean, just hearing the request and just standing in the gap and in agreement with your brothers and sisters about the things that are important in these particular topics. I tell you, come Sunday, God spare your life, you really need to be there. Even if you're there from your bed. You know, you don't, the best part about it is you don't have to, you know, be fully dressed. You don't have to have on your best attire. Nobody can see you. Yeah, I'm the only one that people can see. And what do you care? All you need to do is just be there. Just be there. Just be there. Don't throw in your, you know, prayer request and walk off. Join. Join us. You know, the larger the number, the better the outcome. Yes. And I'm sure in all these 8 weeks, there is someone you could be lifting up who needed a change in their life. And if you have missed it, shame on you. Because now you miss out on helping to make a change in someone's life. Yes. Yes. Come on. Set that alarm. Yeah, you might be in the bed. You know, that might be past your bedtime or might be, you know, a time when you've already, you know, tuckered in to your little bed. And now that it's cold, you didn't already drink your hot chocolate. You didn't already looked at your power and BMF and all of that and, you know, whatever else you might look at or whatever else you might do and you're getting ready for the work week. What better way to get ready for the week other than prayer? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And like I said, when I listen to the request, I'm really, really moved. I am really, really moved. I mean, just the depth of the request. And it shows that, you know, it's not just, Lord, you know, just help Mary. Lord, no, they are laying it out. And they're giving the because. Yes. So, come on and join us on Sunday night. We have a good time. We have a good time. Try to make it somewhere around an hour so it's not, you know, too long. And, you know, I got to check that list because I may have to start reading that list a little earlier. So, come on, bring your request. Bring yourself. Put yourself on the altar. Yeah. We all can use, you know, prayer requests every now and then. And there's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. All right? Well, today is Monday. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes. Welcome back to the regular. It's due time with Pastor Steph. Yeah, we're back to our regular agenda. And now that the holidays are done, yeah, we're back to the regular one. So go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell a friend, you know, let somebody know it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. And hold on to your seat. We'll be right back.
Children are always learning. Learning how to walk, learning how to ride a bike, and if they are obese, maybe learning how to control their type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure. Childhood obesity puts kids at risk for health problems that were once only seen in adults. Right now is the right time to help your child eat healthier and become more active. Talk to your healthcare provider about a healthy weight for your child and learn more about childhood obesity from the Minnesota Academy of PAs at minnesotapa.org.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. Yes. How all went well for you last week over the Thanksgiving Day holiday? And fewer people are bluesy because of last week. Yeah, maybe you got a chance to spend, you know, with some family that you haven't seen in a while, or some friends that you haven't seen in a while. Well, I want to let you know that we finally got a chance to get together. Yes, Brother Al and Tamika joined my family and my church family, or some of my church family members, for Thanksgiving meal. Yes. Oh, it was fantastic. Listen, I've been knowing Brother Al for over a decade. And I'm telling you, you think he's bad here? Oh, my goodness gracious. He is something else in person. And with age, he's gotten crazier. And our lady Tamika, you know, we were marveling this weekend over how they came in, and you would have never known that they had not met, you know, hardly anyone in the room, and they fit in so well. It was an amazing, amazing experience to have them join us for the holiday, and I'm so glad that God put it on my heart to ask them if they were doing anything, and they were not. And we really, really, truly enjoyed them. And I just wanted to share that with you. They were a delight. They were an absolute delight, and I didn't want them to go. I didn't want anyone to leave. We had a ball. We had a natural ball. It was just fantastic. And I give God thanks for being able to share that time with friends and family. And, you know, it was a good time. It was a good time. It was a good time. So I just wanted to let you know that we finally had an opportunity to meet. Yes. So, normally, I would give you a list of things, medical things, you know, or healthy things. Well, this morning, or last night, I found something that I thought might be a little interesting. And, you know, we're a blended country. You know, we're the melting pot. And, you know, people look at us really weird. They look at American people really weird. And the things that we find normal, they don't necessarily see as normal. And they make a list of something that we see as normal, but they don't. They scratch their heads. And they say high school is one. They say, you know, most people, and I have to say, this is something that I say quite often. They say, you know, people who say that their best years were their high school years, they're like, well, what is that? And you're an adult and your best years were your high school years? Yeah. They really find that to be quite weird. I mean, how many of you feel that way? You know, your best years were high school. I thought so. I still say so. Yeah, I've been out of high school for over 30 years, so. But I still enjoy my, you know, the thought of my high school years. All right. Oh, people who have lunch at their desk. Now, that's a norm for us, you know. And they're like, that's weird. That is straight weird. You know, you're supposed to be away from the desk, away from the workplace, the workspace for lunch. You know, other countries, they get up from their desk. They don't want to be eating lunch at their desk. Yeah, they think that's really weird. really, really, really weird. Okay. Here's another one. They say that kids are pressured to leave their parents' homes at 18. You know, we've talked about this here recently. And, you know, it is, I don't know where this comes from, you know, even the children themselves, you know, this pressure to leave home at 18, by 18, they got to be out on their own, or you expecting, you know, people to, you know, your children to be out on their own at 18. Man, adults have a hard time in this world. Why are we pressuring young people? Or why are young people so pressured to be gone at 18? I just happen to agree with the followers. Yeah, who think this is weird. Now, I don't think you should be home if you can help it, you know, at 40. But, hey, you know, sometimes you can't help it. Okay. Here's another thing that they find that's weird. And I want you all to holler back, 347-285-7777. Let me know if you agree with these things or if there's something else that Americans find normal, but, you know, you find, even if you are an American, they find abnormal. You shouldn't be, you know, feeling that way or doing these things. They say it's abnormal for them for complete strangers to ask, how you doing? Well, we know that, you know, ultimately, they don't really want to know how you're doing, right? No, it's just a, you know, something people say, not because they really want to know. But they find that it's really weird. Like, why are you asking me how I'm doing? You really want to hear how I'm doing? All right. Well, they find that to be weird, too. You know what? This is so normal. They are so right with this one that I never thought anything about it. They say it is so weird when you have a whole aisle in your supermarket for just cereal. Isn't that true? Now that you think about it? Yeah. The whole, from one end of, no matter how long that aisle is, from one end to another is dedicated to all that sugar going in your system. That is true. That is true. Wow. You know what else they say is weird? Big glasses of water with ice at restaurants. Now, I don't see what's so weird about that, but, you know, again, that's the way they see us, as weird. Wow. Okay, what else are they saying? Oh, here's an interesting one. Here's an interesting one. They say that it's weird. In Germany, they say the more credit you have, the more your credit suffers, even if you pay it back, even if you pay it back on time. Yeah. They say that's not a good thing. But here in America, the more credit you have, you're kind of looked upon as being on the good side. Yeah. So, okay. Okay. Here's another one. Come on, I want you to send me in the normal but weird. You know, something that we've gotten accustomed to. But we should be scratching our heads, something like that. Here's another one they say is weird. For Amazon to leave the package on your doorstep, they say, why is that normal? Why is it normal for Amazon to leave the package on your doorstep? Well, because everybody ain't home. Wow. Wow. Let's see what else they're talking about. Okay. They say Walmart. How is it that you're able to buy pet fish, car parts, shoes, food, and everything else you need in one building? Everywhere you go in the other countries, they're separate. Wow. Wow. All right. They say the portion size, that you get at a restaurant. They say, you know, normal portion size really leave you full. But when they were here in the United States, it was like they didn't have big portions. And now when you come out to New York, not New York, I'm sorry, United States, every portion is huge. And it's like you got to take food home because there's nowhere in the world you should be able to eat all that food. Okay? They're saying they went to pay with a credit card in a restaurant and the waiter just took it and walked off. Oh, why is that normal? Well, how many times have we gotten snagged when the waiter walked off with our card? So it might be normal, but it ain't always safe. And maybe that's why it's not normal there. Ah, that's it. Oh, paying for an ambulance. That doesn't happen. That does not happen in other countries. You don't pay for an ambulance. Well, it makes sense. I'm sick. No, people got to get paid, and they figure that people who use the ambulance, they got to pay for the, you know, EMT. So how else they going to get paid? Well, remember, other countries, they don't even pay for health insurance. So that paying for an ambulance is definitely out of the question. Okay? Wow. Here's the last one I'm going to read. They say, how in the world can we buy milk in a gallon-sized container? Why should we have to buy milk in a gallon-sized container? They say, who in the world could possibly want that much milk? Well, we got a few more that I'll read tomorrow. All right, so let's check some of this news. Let's just check some of this news. I got a good one here. An interesting one. That's what I mean when I say good. I don't mean good in story. Are you ready for this one? Did you hear about this story here? All right, so a man goes into Little Caesars in Knoxville, Tennessee, and he ordered a pizza, a regular pepperoni pizza, and he was told that it was going to take 10 minutes to make, and he got mad enough to pull out an AK-47 and threaten the person behind the counter's life because, according to the ad, it should already be ready. It's already, remember, their slogan is we are always hot and ready. And he was mad because he said, when I walked up in here, it should have been hot and ready. I only want a pepperoni pizza. I'm not ordering anything, you know, abnormal or special. When Pastor Kim always says it, we're in our last and evil days. When we pull out an AK-47 on an individual because they don't have the pizza ready. But here's my question. Why are you walking around with an AK-47 in the first place? So this is bigger than, you know, the pizza. Because why'd you leave your house with an AK-47? Now, remember now, think about, because, you know, sometimes these things do cross my mind. You went in two Little Caesars, right, expecting to get your ready-made pizza. So you ask for the pizza, and when they say it's not ready, you pull out the AK-47. That means you left your car or on foot. You went to, how did you manage to walk around with this rifle? Yeah, this was premeditating. How do you walk around with this thing and nobody notices you have it? Because I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nowhere in the world you walk around with an AK-47. When you ordered the pizza, I would have left. Nah, that's all right. I wouldn't have been able to even answer you if I see you with an AK-47 here to order pizza. Nah, I'm out. I'm sorry. Woo. Well, Texas seems to be coming up in the news pretty often. Well, they say a Texas woman was found dead 2 days after she signed a $250,000 life insurance policy. And her husband is charged with the murder. Surprise? I don't think so. Okay. So they said the couple signed a $250,000 life insurance policy. And the wife shows up dead 2 days later. And they're saying that Christopher Collins, 41, told the police he suspected his wife was killed by intruders, but they weren't buying that. But you know, listen, what dummy doesn't realize that when a spouse gets murdered, they start digging all into your business? And the first thing they look at is, you know, if there was a life insurance policy taken out. Well, 2 days later, come on. Listen, anybody who knows anything knows, especially with life insurance policies, you got to live for like the next 2 years for you to even cash in on whatever the policy amount is. Yeah, you don't get that money even if you die like 6 months later. Okay? So he told authorities that his wife sent him a text message about a person outside their home while he was at the gym and getting something to eat. And he said that he lost contact with his wife shortly after she said that there was some male outside of their home acting suspicious. And they said that there were no signs of forced entry into the home. You know, so this intruder story didn't add up. And they said the officers also observed the back door was unlocked and four dogs were in the backyard. And how in the world would somebody get in if the door was unlocked and there were dogs in the backyard? Those dogs would have been attacked or dead. So after they did the autopsy, they found that she died from a gunshot wound to the head, and the manner of death was determined to be a homicide. They said that the bullet was fired from a .22 or .25 caliber weapon, and they were checking out the husband, and they now have him held on a $150,000 bond. Come on, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. If you're going to plan something, then go ahead and plan it properly. Don't be sloppy. I mean, we didn't all, remember we talked, I think it was Wednesday, yeah, how to get away with murder. Come on. I mean, even we who don't plan on committing murder, I mean, we didn't watch enough TV and enough movies to figure out how in the world to get it done. Come on. What's the matter with you people? How are you even doing this? Come on, if you're going to do the murder, then do it right. Come on, do it right. Oh, what's the other story I wanted to read? I have one more good one. Let's see. Oh, okay, yeah. This one was pretty sad, but ended up with a pretty good ending. So, a 15-year-old girl was kidnapped by someone who she was online gaming with. And you know, you can do that. You can, you know, pick up these people arbitrarily who are playing these games, you know, and somehow or another, they convinced her to meet them somewhere. Yeah. And her name is Jimmy Henriquez. And she left her house on a Saturday morning with someone who she had been talking with. She went to meet them. Nobody knows the person's name, but she was picked up in a car, and she took a book bag and a cell phone. And they said around 10 o'clock that night, she used her phone to call her mother, and she was crying, and she told her mother she didn't know where she was, but she knew she was far away, and she hadn't eaten. Now, she starts off in North Miami Beach, Florida. Well, when they pinged her phone, the phone was in North Carolina. Now, that's some hours away. So, yeah, 15, that is kind of far. Well, they say on Sunday, they found her in Philadelphia. And nobody knows how she got there. Well, at the time, they didn't know how she got there. But she was safe, and they were flying to go get her. So, you know, amazingly, here she is, 15 years old. She's traveled across state lines. And how she ended up from North Carolina to Philly, because that's a trip, is beyond me. But yet, thank God she was found, you know, safe. You know, we've got to really watch these kids and who they're talking to on these gaming systems. It is just not safe at all. All for them to be communicating, you know, and you really need to just stop them from playing. You know, it seems innocent enough. You know, you say, yo, you don't really need to know who it is that they're playing with. They're only on a game. But how many times has this happened? How many times has this happened? You know, we don't know who they're talking to, and we don't know what they're saying to these kids. We don't know why our children would get up and leave and go and meet strangers. You know, I just could never imagine going to meet a stranger, even when I was a kid. That's why they call it a stranger, because you don't know them. And why are these children so safe these days, you know, with just meeting people that they don't know? I don't get it. I don't understand the comfortability. You know, is it that they're not getting enough attention at home? What is going on? I don't know. We got a lot of stuff to talk about before we get into our main conversation. So let's say good morning. We're going to switch up the normal lineup here, because our men came in late, so they missed part of the stories. So let's start with our Lady Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am fantastic, thank you. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm glad to be on.
Oh, glad to have you. Yeah, you're number one this morning, as you were the first one on. First one called in today, so I know you got all of the stories, all of the conversations. So listen, we started off talking about things here in America that are weird but normal. And would you agree with some of the things that they said? Anything that they said? Or do you have something else that you feel is weird but normal here in America?
Well, I've got something else that I've always found weird, you know. Not that I eat them now, but I used to on a regular as a child, but when you get a package of, let's say, you know, hot dogs, if I'm not mistaken, I think the hot dogs are a pack of 10. and then the hot dog buns are a pack of eight. And I never understood why, if the hot dogs come at a certain size, why can't the buns come at the same size?
Girl, girl, girl. Boy, that is a question that has been asked. It is so true. Well, they have definitely killed that, because now you buy a hot dog, they're eight in a pack. No longer, I can't tell you the last time I picked up a pack of Franks and they were 10. So they didn't match them up. They didn't put us out of our misery of wondering why. But you're right. You're right. You're right. It never made any sense to me either. I'm in the store. I'm like, okay, so what you supposed to do with the two extra hot dogs? Just, I guess, put them in the beans or something. I don't know. I don't know, but you're right. That makes a whole lot of sense. A whole lot of sense. Oh, so we're talking about our stories. Our first story, where the man went into Little Caesars, and when they told him that his pepperoni pizza wasn't already hot and ready, he pulled out an AK-47. Why are you walking the streets with an AK-47 into Little Caesars in the first place, Tamika?
I have absolutely no idea, you know, and just, you know, in general, any store that you go to where there's a line, you can watch people's attitudes, dispositions, you know. At first they're just standing there, then they get to tapping their feet, you know, making phone calls, whatever it is that they can do to distract themselves from being in a line, you know. And I play a little game with myself when I'm in a line like that, especially if the store has music. If that song goes off and I haven't gotten to the front of the line, I leave. That's just me, you know. But walking around with an AK-47 to resolve your issue, I think that's way above extreme.
Yeah.
And you need to really get your anger issues resolved, and not with an AK-47. Let's find something else constructive that you can do. You know, is it that major that you have to handle it that way?
Wow, that's an interesting practice. You know, if the song is done and you're still on the line, you leave. Wow, that's something else. Okay. Interesting.
It helps me
wow.
save money, too. I'm not, you know, I'm in the line, and it's a long line, and I know, you know, sometimes I actually make it to the front, and I'm like, oh, okay. But if I don't, okay, I just saved whatever amount of money I was going to spend. That's a good day.
Okay. I like that. Well, I want you to call me before 7285-7777. Well, you're not really calling me. You're calling Shanti. And we're going to talk about these things that are weird. We're talking about these things that are weird but normal. We're talking about the man with the AK-47 who walked in the store with the AK-47. That's the part that's got my head spinning. All right. $250,000 life insurance policy that this married couple took out. And 2 days later, she's dead with a bullet wound to the head. What is that? Coincidence?
Absolutely not. You know, brother and I, we often joke around, you know, I said, you know, I'm not going to take care of anything until, you know, the life insurance bill, you know, until it's signed, you know, because I can't get nothing right now, you know. And it's a running joke that we, you know, we get back and forth. But as we can see, this is somebody's reality. You didn't even wait till the ink really dried before you said, oh, okay, now we in business. I mean, you know, we find things when people are family, whereas as soon as the person passes away, before, you know, they even put in the ground, people are fighting. But you killed the woman to get the money. And like you said, you know, the first person that people look at is the person that you're living with, you know. Then it's the next of kin. Who did you spend time with? You big dummy. You know, this is how you resolve something. You know, okay, now that it's signed, this is how you're going to handle it. I'm going to get some life insurance. No, you're going to get jail time. That's what you get.
Mm, 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 mm. this team who got carted around from state to state after she met up with someone she was playing this game with. You know, what do you think about that? Why do you think these kids are, you know, easily drawn to strangers? That's the bigger question here. Well, I mean, we just didn't gravitate to strangers when we were growing up. That's why they were called strangers to me. But what's going on?
Right. And you really have to set a precedent in your home. I think it's very important that you look at what they're looking at. You know, you take time to explain the dangers. You know, these youth, a lot of times, it's just about what they want. They're not even looking at all of the different dangers or all of the things that you do to provide for them to get that thing that they want. And the thing that rung out to me is, where are you going at 10 p.m. at 15? You know, I remember my house had now that I think about it, it still has a certain creak. When that door opens, anybody in the house knows that I'm leaving. You know, how is it that the household didn't know that this 15-year-old is leaving? You know, what is it that, are you sleeping at 10 o'clock? You know, just the fear. I remember there was a fear of leaving my home at a certain time, you know, and 10 o'clock was it. You can't just go, not even sitting on the front porch. You know, I got to let my mom know, you know, and leaving a note, I don't think is sufficient. You know, let mommy know where you're going. Mommy should know, daddy should know, inform somebody what's going on. And now, you know, she ended up in different states. And after now you realize the danger, that's when you try and get in contact with mom via phone.
Well, thank God she took the phone with her, because they were able to ping it in and at least kind of locate, you know, where she was. But I tell you, these kids take a lot of chances with their safety. Mm. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tamika. And we'll be back to talk more. Mm. All right. Let's talk to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. How are you today?
Better days are coming. Better days are coming. One day at a time. I feel okay today. Thank God.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Charlene, we started talking about things that is weird but normal. Was there something on that list that you agree with that was weird but normal? Or do you have something of your own that is weird but normal?
Actually, I have something on my own. We pay insurance to go, our medical insurance. My question is, I think that's weird. Why we have to pay copay, and also why do we have to pay for our own medicine? And we already are paying our insurance.
Wow, good question. Good question. Normal but weird. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Like you said, that insurance payment should cover everything. But they seem like they're finding more and more things for you to additionally pay for, Pastor Charlene. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely
right.
You're paying the insurance. You're paying copay. You're paying for the doctor because they're going to send you a bill too. You know, so
yep.
If you do a special surgery or whatever, you got to pay for that. So you're paying a whole lot of times.
You got that right. You got that right. Ooh, good one, good one, good one. And I guess that goes with the ones that say, you know, why are we paying for an ambulance? Same concept.
Yeah.
Same concept. I never even thought about that in that manner until I saw it this morning. But you're right. You're right. You're right. What are we paying for? What are we paying for? All right. The AK-47 that walked up into the Little Caesars with the mayor. What is your thought? What is the world coming to?
Well, he wanted it hot like they do Krispy Kreme, hot and ready. But I thought of it as his normal. It was his normal to walk around with it. And it was just that, who am I going to terrorize on today? But I know one thing. If I was in there and I was on, had to give it him the pizza, he would have got every pizza there was. You can have them all. Take them out the oven. Have it your way. Hey, you ain't got no worry. What else you want?
Well, because I'm saying, when you look out across the counter, he has to be holding it. Because you can't have no AK-47. There ain't no small handgun. So, I mean, when you took the order, man, I'm telling you, this was too much.
It was under his coat. He didn't, you know, wear that big coat, had it underneath there. Nobody's paying attention. Like Lady Tamika said, people are on their phone. They ain't paying attention. People are texting. They ain't paying attention. The people behind the counter, they talking. They ain't paying attention. Till he got to the counter, everybody paid attention.
You got that right, Pastor Charlotte. You got that right. All right, so Elder Beard and you signed a $250,000 life insurance policy. And 2 days later, there's a gunshot to the other one's head. Man, 2 days, you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait 2 days, and you didn't think you were going to be a suspect? Come on, Pastor Charlotte. You know they were coming to you first.
Am I the suspect?
You are the suspect.
Because it might
go
two ways. Oh, okay.
Yes.
So,
you're the suspect
this
morning.
I didn't do my homework to see when I will be able to get this money. And it was already a setup. I said, come on, let's go get this insurance. Let's sign our name on here. I already planned what I was going to do with that money. So, yes. Now, always the spouse is always going to be first, you know, in any murder, because you got to be able to say where you was at. Even if I hired somebody to do it, they will still look at me first. So he didn't think it through. So that's why he got caught, because he ain't do enough information. And like you said, we watch a lot of movies and a lot of shows on TV, How to Get Away with Murder. That was one of my favorites. And he didn't do the homework.
Absolutely, because you should have known better. Come on, 2 days, they're not paying those $250,000 policy in 2 days. Come on, come on, come on. Use your head, use your head. Let me ask you, what do you think is the draw for these kids? You know, they're playing games with these strangers, and it's just supposed to be a matter of playing game. How are you now dialoguing, and now how are you, you know, engaging in conversation so deep that now you leave your house to meet these people? What is going on with our children?
They're lonely. They don't have nobody to talk to. When you were saying it, I thought of that, of how with that the parent probably could be working. So tired, doing all the overtime, not paying attention. My kids always used to have a problem because I was in their business and still in their business sometimes. And I want to know who your friends are. And for a 15-year-old to get out the house and me not knowing, what does that say about of me, the way that you felt that it was okay for you to go and get in somebody's car, you know, willingly, of a stranger? Don't they still do that stranger danger thing they have out for the children? Like, you didn't think
See, a lot of times these kids always think that it's not going to happen to me, even though they've heard about it, but it won't happen to me. Because I'm smarter than that. You know, and then when you're on the internet, I can be whoever you want me to be. You know, I think it was Fish something. They used to have a show on TV, and and you thought that you was talking to somebody your own age, and these are grown people, you know. So that's how they able to get to that. And she must have thought something for her to take her bag and being able to. How was she able to talk on the phone if somebody take you? That person was too comfortable, too, who took her. Was it somebody that she knew? Good question.
Well, she didn't know she had a phone with her. That's a possibility. You know, because if you're taking this child, the thing most people do is check for your phone and all of that. So maybe this was still in the getting comfortable stage, you know, where they don't, he didn't, or she didn't want to scare her. So they kind of just kind of left her alone and, you know, come back and things like that. But lo and behold, thank God that phone call was made. Wow. Pastor Charlene, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're coming back to have more conversation. Let's talk to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Hey, good morning. Can you come back to me last and get a dismissed story?
Okay,
I got the dish, Mr. King. Okay.
All right, we're coming back to you, Brother Al. Good morning, Pastor KL.
And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Good morning to you, Pastor.
Oh, well, isn't this a nice break? You know, normally you're always first. Let me find out you calling last or late so you could be last now. I'm picking up on that little strategy going on. I'm picking up on that little strategy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So, Pastor KL, you know, we started off talking about the things that are normal but weird. And we gave a list, and you weren't on for that list, but is there something that always seemed normal, but you always kind of question it, so why is that normal?
Yes, and I'm talking about insurance, but different insurance. I'm talking about car insurance. Why do we pay all this money for car insurance, and then if I don't get in no accident, I don't get my money back? I mean, the insurance is if I get into an accident. So if I ain't been in an accident in 5 years, why I don't get my money back?
Good question. Good question. That shows that that's the racket. Just in case.
Right.
Well, like you said, just in case I don't and I don't, or just in case I do and I don't, what happens to a refund? I mean, even 10% would be better than nothing, right, Pastor KL?
Yeah. I mean, in that case, why don't we put money into a bond? Just in case I go to jail, my bond is already there. You know what I mean? Why would I do stuff like that?
Oh, good. You know, well, actually, they do have, you know, and I don't know how common it is these days, but quite a few years ago, they used to have where there was, you could hire these attorneys that you would pay them, and any time you needed an attorney, they were there for you. So
yeah, it was called prepaid legal.
Okay. So you remember that. And
yeah,
so therefore, I
was a part of it, but they was getting too much of my money.
Why? Because you didn't need the services as much?
Yeah, it was almost like I needed to shoot somebody just to get my money worth.
Right, because for the most part, if you're a decent citizen, you pretty much don't need an attorney.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
It was me that went into the Little Caesars. I had to get my money's worth.
But wait, how did you get your money's worth, Pastor Kale, when you didn't get no money? All you did was get the same pizza, and now you're going to jail. So how much of your money's worth did you get in the beginning after all?
But now I got good lawyers. That's already paid for.
Oh, my goodness gracious. We walk up into Little Caesars with an AK-47. So you walked up in there and got angry that wasn't hot and ready, as the ad says, and now you're pulling out an AK-47. What do you really feel like you're going to get accomplished? If he told you 10 minutes, the precinct will be ready no quicker because you got an AK-47.
Yeah, but if you shoot me, I'm going to be hot. And ready.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. All right.
First of all, I want to know, what size was this guy that you could not see the AK-7?
Right.
I mean, how big was he? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It wasn't a spray bottle or a mace. I'm just trying to figure this out.
And that's what I said. You walked from your car. You stood in the line. Or when you ordered it, that person didn't see you with the AK-47, because this is in Knoxville, Tennessee. So there's a high good chance that you weren't wearing no big coat or no long trench coat or something like that. So somebody had to see something bulging, long,
right.
something. This is crazy. I tell you, you know, you walked in the store like that. So you were ready for something to jump off. That's all I can think of. Oh, my goodness. All righty. You and the Mrs., y'all go get a $250,000 life insurance policy. And then you shoot in the head 2 days later. Did you really think you were going to collect, Pastor Gail? Really?
Now, you know, sometimes I don't even think, you know, it goes down like that mentally. You know, like in Pastor Charlene's case, you know, I think what happened was Elder Beard took a bite of that burger, and she was just fed up. She wasn't thinking about the policy. She just knew that Elder Beard ate her burger. So she shot him in the head.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not even for the money. You know, you just pushed the button. You know, you left the toilet seat up. That's the last time you're going to do it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I don't know. You know, you need to think about the fact that you didn't took out this $250,000 life insurance, and you're going to become the main suspect. And
right.
You ain't going to stand a chance to getting away with nothing at this point. Even if this was the straw that broke the camel's back, and I wasn't even thinking about a dollar when I shot you in the head. But just when you lied and said that it was an intruder. Come on. You didn't even get the story straight. Can't even get your story together. Oh, my goodness gracious. Last but not least, I want to pick your brain as to, you know, why do you think our children are really comfortable with just meeting these people on a game platform? And, you know, they can be coerced into leaving their home to meet you secretly. What happened? What's going on?
Well, I mean, just to piggyback on what Pastor Charlene said, you know, they're lonely. There is no attention at the home. It's not, you know, what's wrong with the children. It's what's wrong with the parents, that you don't see these signs of depression. You know, you don't see the signs of loneliness. And predators, they listen very well. They don't do a lot of talking. They listen very well. And when they see there's an opening, they'll feed into your emotions on what you wanted mommy to say or what you wanted daddy to say. And now they gravitate to that because they don't have that at home. So they sit back. And remember, when you're typing, there's no emotion. So you build your own emotion in your mind, you know, whether this is a fantasy that I've been looking for, whether this is a father figure, whether this is somebody that could be good in my life, you know, because you don't hear nothing at all. Like Pastor Charlotte said, your mama is working. You know, sometimes the daddy not in the home. You know, so your mama's working two jobs. So, yeah, she's trying to do what she needs to do for the household. However, the children are going astray. And the children have to learn street values from the street. And that could be a dangerous place to be.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Nice. You all are coming up with some logical explanation as to what's going on in the home with these kids and, you know, how they end up sliding out of the house to meet up with strangers. Well, thank you so much, Pastor KL, for joining us. We're going to try to hit up a Brother Al, see if he's ready to talk with us. Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop, chop of the morning. Chop, chop of the morning, and the kids are off to class. How you doing, Pastor Cal?
I'm doing well, Brother Al. I'm doing well, thank you. How you doing over there?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. You know, the good Lord tapped me on the shoulder and told me to get up, so I'm all good.
All righty now. All right, so you missed our list of things that are normal but weird. So do you have something that you've always noticed was normal but weird?
As a matter of fact, I do. And this is as being a homeowner. You know, when you own a home, okay, and you got your property, front of your property, back of your property. So on the front of your property, if it's cement or something, you are responsible for paying for it. But then when you want to do some work to your house, you have to call the government to make sure that it's okay to do work at your house. I'm like, so what it is like when it benefits the city, or like you said, something, your sidewalk break or something like that. Oh no, that's not us. You got to fix that. But then you say, okay, I'll fix it, but I want to do this to my house. Oh no, you got to get permission to do that. So I'm like, which one is it? So it benefits the city. Right, it benefits the city. When it benefits them, it's good. But if they got to come out their pocket, oh no, that's on you. So I always thought, like, wow, that's weird. That's really weird there.
Wow, that's a good one. That is a good one. I had a pipe burst in the middle of the street. There was a pipe that burst in the middle of the street. And it was my responsibility to pay for. They shut off my water and everything until I got a licensed plumber. And he had to be licensed. It wasn't no, you know, Joe Blow up the street. So like you said, I don't have nothing to do with what's going on in the middle of the street. But like you said, if we want to do anything in our house, we're going to have to make sure we go get permits and all kind of things. So that's a good one, Brother Al. That's a good one. Real good one. All righty. We're talking about the man who walked up in Little Caesars with the AK-47, mad because the speaker wasn't hot and ready, as the ad said. What's going on with these people, Brother Al?
Not over no pizza, man. Not over no pizza. I'm thinking that, I'm wondering, was he on the other side of the fence? Because, you know, most of the time, our side of the fence, you know, we get mad and cuss somebody out. That's the most we're doing, threatening. I see you every time you get off work. You know, we're threatening. But we ain't coming in there with no AK. You know, and like you said, somebody had to see it. Do you know how big an AK is? He had to come in with a trench coat or something to be hiding.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Well, unfortunately, his name is Charles Doty Jr., and I can't quite tell if he's on the outside of the fence or not. But man, oh man, I agree. Not over no pizza. Not over no pizza.
Not over no pizza. Not over no pizza,
oh,
man.
All right. $250,000 life insurance policy. 2 days later, she's shot in the head. But it ain't you, because the intruder was the one who killed your wife. What is going on?
Oh man, that root of evil money, you know. And I'm listening, and like you say, you know, like Pastor Charlotte said, you know, you wasn't looking at how to get away with murder. And, you know, and I'm a little worried because I heard Pastor Charlotte talking about that's her favorite show, so I need to watch my back. You know, I don't know. She talking about that's her favorite show. I got to watch my back. I know what's about that. But you know, people don't think there is no perfect crime with the technology that they got. You know, I saw a thing where there was some murders in the house and they didn't know what was what. And they put a camera in and set it at a certain position. And it took a 3D hologram of the whole house and they were able to figure out everything that went on in that house. So the technology that they got, you're not going to get away with it. But just because that evil thought of money, he figured, I'm going to get this money, you know. Crazy.
Wow. And last but not least, we're talking about these teenagers and children who are connecting with these strangers on these game platforms, and they're coerced into leaving the home and finding and meeting up with these people that they don't even know. What do you think is going on in their head?
Well, one of the things I've listened to a lot of the comments that was made, and the parent always get the blame, and it's not always the parent. You know, being working with these kids and working with these teenagers, the first and foremost thing, these kids think they know everything. They think one of the main things that I've experienced with these kids, oh, it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. So, again, they start getting infatuated. Oh, somebody liked the same thing I like. Oh, they should meet me. I can meet with them, and they're going to give me money. I've seen it happen, and I'm sitting there like, but you don't know this person. Well, I don't plan on doing nothing with the person. I'm just going to get that money. I'm just like, wow, that is your – you don't think this person could kidnap you or harm you in any kind of way? Oh, no, I got my girlfriend with me. That ain't going to happen to me. So I hear these kids saying that. You know, and these phones is killing these kids. Oh, my God. And just like Pastor Kel said, the predator is just a listener. Oh, he's a good listener. He want to hear everything you want that you got to say. And then he's going to go from there. And that's how these kids are getting caught. And, yes, there is some time at the home where the parent is busting their behind and not giving the child, you know, attention. But they figure, hey, it ain't going to happen to me. They think they know everything. And that's where a lot of this stuff is happening.
Okay. Good stuff. All of this stuff is up for consideration. Let's hear what, thank you, Brother Al. Thank you so much. And we're coming back to continue our conversation with you. But we have our listeners, there's some comments from our listeners. Shantice, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
All right. So what do the listeners have to say this morning?
Okay, our first comment is regarding the pizza man. Okay, listener sent in, he brought the AK-47 because it's a regular thing with him, and he got tired of it because he pays his hard money for his pizza to be hot.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Ooh, some explanation, listener. Some explanation. Wow. Okie dokie. What else you got over there?
Okay, and the next comment is in regards to the 15-year-old. Listener sent in, the family dynamic these days are lacking. Parents are not doing the job as they did back in the days. Many kids are left to fend on their own. Hence, they seek others, even strangers, to fill whatever void, not realizing the danger.
Okay. Something to think about. All righty. Any other comments?
Not as of yet.
All righty. Thank you so much.
You're
welcome. For laying that information for us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, last week we started the conversation about lions. And, you know, as we look at a couple of our stories here, lion is a part of it. You have the $250,000 life insurance policy. Somebody was lying, you know, when you said that the intruder was the one who you know, was responsible for the wife's death. So we're talking about that lion. We're talking about the lion of the 15-year-old. You know, some lies had to be told, whether the lies were told to her that got her out the door, out the house, into the car, whether she lied to parents. You know, is this the first time she's done it? You know, so a lot of lying goes on, and, you know, it's a problem that we have, and, you know, it goes on heavily in our relationships. So last week we talked about ways we know that, you know, our partners are lying. And this week, we're going to talk about what to do when you find out that your partner lies or is lying to you. And, you know, they say that there's a lot of things that you could do. And one of the things is establish ground rules for lying. Ah, Tamika, what say you? Establish ground rules for lying. Is that something that you should be doing in your relationship?
Well, I mean, you in a relationship, you hope, you know, that the individual is not going to lie to you. I'm an individual. You don't see the situation until it transpires. So I'll give you enough rope to kind of hang yourself. You know, I get you in a corner. Not that I purposely do it, but when I find out that you're not telling the truth, then I get you in an avenue whereas you can't get out of it. You literally are in a corner, and the best thing for you to do is go ahead and tell the truth. You know, and then at that point, we'll see, you know, what happens. Because, again, you know, I can't establish a rule in the forefront that I don't expect coming.
Okay. All right, good thought. Pastor Charlotte, you know, are we establishing ground rules for lying?
Well, I didn't know that you was a liar, but what I do is make it sound, when I know that you're lying, I do bring it to your attention. If you continue to lie, then I will act like I'm talking about somebody else and let you tell this, and I tell the story as it's another person. And then when I finish and I get their opinion, then I say, that's you, liar.
Well, we could tell that you're not on our page because that did not answer the question at all. But we're going to leave you there. We're going to leave you there. Ooh, baby. Elder Ben, I really feel for you, brother. I hope you ain't over there telling no lies. Because homegirl got her plan all ready. Liar. Woo! Oh, Pastor KL, are we establishing ground rules for lying?
I think the ground rule is, you know, we don't lie. I mean, there's nothing good that's going to come out of that, because you have to follow it with another lie, you know. And then after a while, especially if you're in a relationship, you got to remember this lie for years, because A man's brain ain't that long, but a woman gonna remember that for a long time. And she gonna bring it up, and you gonna act like you don't know what she talking about. So yeah, I don't think that you need to even start that. Not only that, you know, when they start lying, you see what kind of lies they're lying on. Is it simple lies that's unnecessary? Because if you lie about little things, you're gonna lie about big things. It's time to get out of there.
Yeah, all righty now. All righty. Brother Al, you know, we're getting started in this relationship. Are we establishing, or should we have to establish, ground rules for lying?
I wouldn't say set rules, ground rules. I think it should be a discussion so I can let you know how do I feel about lying. I need to know how you feel about it. Because once you lie to me, your trust is done. So I'm thinking, you know, if you sit back and try to make ground rules on lying, and then there's some severity, because, you know, you have your little small lies and then you have your severity one, then that whole rule is going to change. So I don't think setting rules is a good thing. I think it should be something talked about. Listen, this is how I feel about lying. You know, once you lie to me, you know, your trust is gone from me, and then we're going to have a serious problem. So I think it's something that should be discussed, though.
Okay, okay. Well, yeah, I got a question about this one. They say that you should determine why they lied. Ooh, Pastor Sean, would you agree that it's important to determine why they lied?
I would ask, yes. I would want to know where the lie came from, and why do you have to lie?
Okay, okay. All righty. Brother Al, we're trying to determine why they lie. Now, is that something that you feel that you should have to do, or you should do?
Yeah, I do. I think it's important because, again, you might be the type of person that they don't feel comfortable coming talking to. And they feel that, but I can't talk to this person and I can't come to them truthfully, so I have to tell a lie in order to do that. So I think you do need to hear that out. So if that is the case where you're the person that can't be talked to, then, okay, we need to make some changes so you can be able to talk to me without lying.
Okay, okay. All right. Pastor KL, are we determining why they lie?
I'm not going through all that. I'm really, really not. You know, if you don't feel comfortable talking to me, then we don't need to be in a relationship. Because if your thing is that you have to lie to me in order to get past something, then we're really not past it because we really never dealt with the issue of it. You know, so right now you're just camouflaging, you know, what you really feel. You're putting a mask on it. And then when the pipe gets too much pressure, it's going to bust and everything's going to come out. And now we're going to have to get that plumber to clean everything up. Why don't we just deal with it right now with the leak in the pipe as opposed to the bust of the pipe?
Okay, okay, okay. Tamika, what say you? Are we determining the reason why you lie?
I have an issue with that because, all right, so if I ask you, you know, does this outfit look nice and in actuality you hate it, you know, why not? You can find ways to tell me that you don't like it, you know, as opposed to having me do, you know, or wear that particular thing. Because my thing is, if it's a small thing and you lie about it, then what happens when it's a big thing? We're going to a family reunion and I'm wearing this outfit that I think is amazing and I look horrible. You know, and it's in front of all your friends, your family, you know, or whatever the case may be. You know, if you're lying to me about something small, you'll lie to me about something big. And what is it? Every time you feel uncomfortable, you're gonna use that as an excuse. You know, I think it is a problem. You know, initially, if it's like the first, the first time it's a new relationship, okay, we can discuss it. But after a couple of years, I'm not gonna keep going through the same thing. And every time you get uncomfortable, you lie about something. No, it doesn't work for me.
Okay. Ooh, let go of your anger. Brother Al, is that something you need to do? When you find out that they lied, let go of the anger?
Yeah, you have to. Because that anger will take you some places and make you do some things. And, you know, I get that anger, then I got to call Pastor Charlotte and ask, how can I hide this body and get rid of these fingerprints? So you got to let the anger go. Your first initiative is to be angry because something happened to you, definitely. So, but you got to get calm because that anger will make you do some things. So I would say yes to that.
Okay. Pastor KL, let go of the anger?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to accept the lie, you might as well let go of it. Because, I mean, they've already forgotten it, and you got that thing bottled up, and it's killing you. You know, they've already moved on because, you know, the conversation has already been had, and you're still holding on to this thing. So it's either you're going to forgive and forget, you know what I mean, or hold and regret, one or the other.
All righty now. All righty now. Tamika, were we letting go of the anger after they didn't lie?
You know, whether you decide to continue the relationship or not, you have got to get rid of that anger. That anger can cause stress in the brain. It can cause issues in the heart. You know, it can give heart attacks. It can put you in the hospital. You have got to release that anger.
All righty, all righty. Pastor Charlotte, are we letting go of the anger?
Yes, you have to let go of the anger so you'll be able to talk, because then it'll go into, you know, that show Snap. I watched that too, y'all.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, you have to let go of the anger.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it'll take you to a place that you really don't need to really be, you know.
Okay. Well, you know, Tamika stepped on it, and one of the things that they say here is to decide if you want to stay and determine what you need to work on going forward. So do you agree with that, Pastor KL?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Decide if this is for you, you know, again. You know, if they start off with these small lies and can get by with it, they're gonna graduate to some stuff. And, you know, if you put up with it, if you stand for it, you know, that's what is going to happen. You know, people only do what you allow them to do. If you cut it off at the pass, if you nip it in the bud, they'll stop it. But if you decide that this is the kind of life you want to live, then stop complaining about it. Deal with it.
Okay. Tamika, you started talking about it here. They say decide if you want to stay and determine what you need to work on going forward.
Yeah, that's definitely true. The thing is, you make the determining factor. You choose whether that lie was one of those things that, oh, we can get over it, you know, and then find out the source, the reason, you know, was it because you're intimidated, you know, was it because of the way that I looked at you, you know, if that's what you want to do. But also understand that that may come around again, you know, and so you've got to prepare yourself for whatever, you know, can come forward in your new situation, you know, or decide to walk away. And again, you deal with the repercussions of either choice.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte? Determine, you know, decide if you want to stay and determine what you need to work on if you do stay.
Absolutely. It is your choice. But just like everyone has said already, you know, sometimes it'll start off small and then it'll grow, and then you'll never know what to believe. And now, do you want to put yourself in that predicament or not? You know, not knowing if your partner is telling you the truth or not. Do you want to live like that, or in the relationship, I should say, like that the whole time? So it's something that you have to make a decision what works for you, because what might work for you may not work for everybody else, because you're in it. So you have to make that choice.
Okay. And Brother Al, what say you?
Oh, yeah. Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that I wanted to tell Pastor Charlotte, if I ever done anything to you, I am sorry, because you're watching all these crazy shows and I am now afraid of you. So if I've done anything to hurt your film, I apologize. and I think that, yes, if you decide that, you know what, this happened, I'm going to get past it and I'm going to move forward. The first thing is you got to be sincere with that with yourself, and you got to be sincere to say, you know what, if I'm moving forward, I'm not going to keep throwing it up in that person's face. I'm going to forgive it, and we're going to move forward. But we definitely got to have a conversation on, okay, this can't happen again. If this happened again, this is going to be the consequences, because you don't have to lie to me. So I do believe it's a conversation you need to have.
All righty. Thank you, my due time crew, for having this discussion and helping people to, you know, go through this, you know, this lying phase and what, you know, they need to consider that they need to do. Thank you so very much. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well.
You too.
You all do the same. Don't worry. I love you all.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All righty. Hope you take those pointers, some good stuff being given out by the Due Time crew. So it is the time on a Monday where we get our switch tip from Shanti. Let's say good morning again to Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
All right, what you got for us today?
Today I got the switch with Shanti, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 81 this week is stop treating faithfulness like it has an expiration date. And I found that the more you get involved with God, the more he gets involved with you, and he helps to pull you away from the ungodly habits that you have. And you don't realize how dysfunctional you are until it's time to stop. You don't realize how deep into these habits you are until he says it's time to give it up. And I know I've noticed with myself that I may go, let's say, 3, maybe 5 months without doing something. And then it's like, okay, God, it's been about 4 months, so I could do this again, right? Because I've been trying, and it's been hard. But now I'm just having this urge again out of nowhere, and I get so annoyed with myself because it's like, well, how is it that I was able to go 4 or 5 months without having this urge, without having this desire, and now out of nowhere it's just popping up as if I've been doing it all this time and I've been refraining from it like I haven't? And then you slip up and then you do it, and then here comes the guilt and the shame of all this, and now you're taking yourself back through this whole process, whatever your process is, of going, you know, before God again and apologizing and reading whatever verses you think you need to read and spend whatever time with him you think you need to spend. And then you go through another, I forgot how I termed it before, but you go through another pack of pockets. That's what I was saying, these pockets of obedience, these pockets of faithfulness. So now you go through another 3, 4, 5 months of being obedient, and then bam, you smack yourself with being unfaithful again. And it becomes very, very, very annoying, a very, very annoying cycle. And I looked up the definition of faithfulness again, and one of the definitions I came across was very interesting to me, and it read, unfailingly remaining loyal to someone or something and putting that loyalty into consistent practice regardless of extenuating circumstances, meaning faithfulness is a 24-hour, 7 days a week thing. You don't take no breaks from it. It's unfailingly remaining loyal and putting that loyalty into consistent practice. There's no breaks in being consistent. And yes, God understands that there are some things. A lot of times you think, okay, I'm going to struggle more with A than with B, and then God shows you that it's actually the other way around. So yes, he understands whatever your struggles are. However, he is looking for that consistent effort, not for you to give in or give up because now all of a sudden these urges have become just too much for you. Proverbs 3:3-4, Message version. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of the people. Again, he knows we will never be perfect like Jesus was. Jesus knows we will never be perfect like he was, but he is looking for our personalized perfection. Again, always seeking him, always making sure that we're trying our best. And I really like the part where it says tie them around your neck, carve the initials on your heart, because that means that you're really meditating on love and loyalty and making sure that you stay as close to those traits as possible. Psalm 89:33-35, also in the Message version, but I'll never throw them out, never abandon or disown them. Do you think I'd withdraw my holy promise or take back words I've already spoken? I've given my word, my whole and holy word. Do you think I would lie to David? When you get a chance, read the verses that come right before this, because this was God speaking, and he was saying that even with the David's children doing this and doing that, he would make them pay. He would rub their face in their iniquities and in their sins. However, because of the promise that he gave prior to his children being disobedient, he is going to stay true and faithful to his word. He ain't going to take no breaks because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Now put that to your own life. What is it that you've been doing where you would deserve if God said, I'm good off of you. I'm not doing this for you no more. I know what I said, but that was before you broke this covenant. And now I'm going to just take back what I said. So we really have to follow that trait within him. 1 Corinthians 4:2, English Standard Version. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. And that, me wanting God to look at me and feel like he can rely on me, feel like he can trust me, has really been something I've been thinking about a little more than before. I don't know exactly why, but when I read this verse, it was like, yes, we again, he is looking for us to keep striving more and more and more for him. Then I came across Revelation 2:10, English Standard Version, which reads, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, does it sound like we get to take any breaks? She's saying the devil is about to do something to try to break your faith, the faith that you have in me, the faith that you've been working so hard to make sure you keep in me. But as long as you stay consistent in me, you will overcome this, and then you will get a reward that he does not owe us. He doesn't owe us anything, but yet he says, because you're going to go through this, if you stay faithful within me, I will give you the crown of life, and that is something that no one, especially not here on earth, no one else can give to us but God. So we really have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision from making the switch, from having these pockets of faithfulness, these pockets of obedience, not giving ourselves a way out because we feel like we need to reward ourselves with sin. And it just sounds so twisted because that's pretty much what we're saying. I get to reward myself, God, now with being able to indulge in the things that I want to indulge in because I've been refraining from this for the past 3, 4, 5 months. No. Oh, you're going to miss out on that crown of life. So make sure we're making a conscious decision to make the switch from having these pockets of faithfulness to making sure that we stay true in him and not treating faithfulness like it has an expiration date. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shanti. Thank you for that switch tip. Ah, a lot to think about. Thank you so much, and we pray you have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh. Come to the moment where we hold hands and whole hearts and go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father,
God of our past, God of our present, and God of our future. We give you thanks, O Lord, for all that you have done. Just the fact that we woke up this morning, that you decided to awaken us, is so much to be grateful for. We just thank you, God, that we were able to come through a safe holiday weekend, God. No hurt, harm, or danger came upon any of us, that you've been watching over us all this time. So we've been able to come through it all again, God. For those who spent the holiday time maybe not on the happier side, we give you thanks, God, that you just held on to them and that you did not allow them to sink too low. For those who are missing loved ones, God, we thank you, God, for getting them through that period of time, God, and just holding on to them and them, even if they didn't hold on to you, God, but that your staying power is so strong that even if we're not holding on, the fact that you held on to us, God, is so powerful that we make it through anyhow, even without us even working toward it, God. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for those of us who traveled and you gave traveling mercies to, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, because so much can happen over this period of time, and you just had your staying protective power over us. We thank you, God, that we're able to gather here one more time, and we're going to shake this blues together, God. For any particular reason why things are not feeling good, things don't seem good, things may not be good, but we have you, God, that we can wake up to, that we can address, that we can acknowledge. And even if we didn't even think of some things, just everyone talking and laughing, we can shake this stuff off. And it won't be just a momentary thing, that it would help us get through the day, God. And we thank you because you're just that kind of God who is faithful. As we just got finished being reminded that we're serving a faithful God, that regardless of what we've done, regardless of what we've said, regardless of what we haven't done, you're just a man of your word. And we say thank you, God. Many of us should not have anything at all, but because you're a man of your word, we are still sitting on this side of the fence with this level of promise still in our lap. So we pray, God, that just that faithfulness will go from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, that we would not give up, that we would not become weary in well-doing, that we won't grow tired and frustrated and give up, because you have not given up on us, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we're just so grateful for all that you do, things that we don't even pay attention to, things that we're not even aware of, God. We thank you. Even the lying in the relationship, God, you've gotten us through that. You've gotten us through with ways to just hold on to you, with times that we just turn to you, God, that help us get through that rough patch. And we're grateful, God, because we could not do it if it were not for you. We thank you so much for your undying love. We thank you so much for your undying kindness. And we will continue to serve you, God, increasing in our faithfulness and our dedication and our commitment to you. We could never match you. We cannot beat you, given. but we can definitely strive to enhance the relationship. And we're grateful of all the reminders that have been given that help us push forward even when we don't want to. We give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Oh, what a morning. You know, a lot of conversation about, you know, some miscellaneous things. And, you know, we talked about this this individual who walked up in the store, you know, ready to get into some issue, get into some problem. And is that us? We may not carry around the AK-47, but is that us? Are we just ready to buck off? Are we ready to just jump and sound off at people at any given moment? We're not exercising any level of patience, long-suffering. We're just waiting for somebody to tell us something wrong or something that we don't want to hear. Yeah, that's the way a lot of us live. We're talking about that $250,000 life insurance policy. And before the ink could dry on the paper, we're already going against what we're supposed to be doing. You know, that $250,000, we just got finished talking about that. What do you need to take care of that will cost you $250,000? Maybe to cover the home, you know, the home you live in, and you got to, you know, you're trying to make sure that nobody is homeless if, you know, if you ought to die or whatever. But again, you know, if you think about it conceptually, what are we putting into place that we really got some other thought behind what we really want to do? There's a motive behind what we're doing. That is very common, very common, very, very common. We talk about our children who have become comfortable with strangers. And, you know, there's a toss-up between, you know, is it the parents or the home? Is it the child? And, you know, it makes me think about the fact that years ago, we used to automatically say when we saw a child acting up, you know, people would automatically say, well, we know what kind of home you come from. So that's your home training. And that wasn't always the case. You know, I have seen families raised in extremely good homes, and we've all seen it, where, you know, that the parents are breaking their necks, you know, giving them time and taking time and making sure they have, and they're doing what they have to do, but the children are working contrary. So we can't always blame the home. Sometimes it is the home. Sometimes we're so busy trying to make ends meet and, you know, trying to get our education, and you know, our children need to get their education. And sometimes we didn't got ourselves in situations where we need 2-3 jobs. And, you know, and now that the child doesn't get that attention at home because we don't have any time, because we have to make ends meet. So because of that, then the child is seeking something that we're not giving. And they are finding it in outsiders, people that they don't know. You know, that there was one of the normal, weird but normals that said, you know, somebody, some strangers actually asking us how we're doing. Well, that's exactly what goes on with our children. Somebody's giving attention that you're not giving. So, you know, we have a mixture. You know, we can't just hang our hat on the household or the parents, and we can't just hang our hats on the children. You know, and it's very hard to find that balance because, again, every child needs and wants something different. And what do you do? What do you do other than seek the Lord? You know, that's why it's so imperative that we get on this prayer line every week, every Sunday night, because God strategically has us praying for different topics. And we don't know what our children are going through. We have no clue. And, you know, sometimes when we go before the Lord, you know, for one thing, he strategically gives us something else to think about, to work on. And, you know, we want to make sure that we are always focusing on God, like Shanti said in her switch tip. Faithfulness will definitely keep us focused. If we just think about how consistent God is with us, and we stay that consistent, then we can't go wrong. Consistent in reading his word, consistent in attending church service, consistent on meditating on his word day and night, and on his goodness day and night. You know, focusing and concentrating and being consistent and taking care of his people. Not doing what we want to do. You know, I'm too tired, or I don't feel like it, or why it's always got to be me. Or, no. You know, last night we prayed over self-care and self-treatment. How are we treating ourselves? There needs to be a balance between, you know, what we do for ourselves and what we do for others. What we do for others and how we treat and take care of ourselves. We can't continue to just pour ourselves out to the point and the degree that we can't even function. We've got to think about taking care of ourselves as well. Well, when we're faithful to God the way God is faithful to us, believe it or not, he will give that balance. And all the lying that takes place in the relationships, we're there. If we stay faithful to God, we will not lie in these relationships, because we will understand that God needs us to be truthful. God needs us to be open. God needs for us to be honest. You know, that's one of the commandments. Don't bear false witness. Don't lie. Don't lie. If you have some issues that come up in a relationship or in your life, share them with your partner. And, you know, you have to wonder, if you can't talk to this person, is this the relationship you need to be in? You know, we talked about the fact that, you know, hey, are you balancing whether you should stay, and if you stay, what you should be working on? That's a big step, because some people just stay because, you know, let me just stay with the devil I know, because I don't know what I'm going to get. Well, that's not God's way of doing things. But if we're faithful to God, he will direct your path. Acknowledge him in all that you do, and you won't have to worry about whether you're making the right decisions or not, because those things will come to you automatically. So we have a lot to glean from today and all of our conversation and taking the Monday morning blues. We came across a whole lot of stuff. So we want to make sure that we utilize everything that God gave us today. Okay? And I pray we're all on the other side of that better Monday morning. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew who always comes through big time for us. And I want to thank you for listening and joining the conversation with your comments. Thank you so much for being a part of our day. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us in any shape, form, or fashion. Until tomorrow, where it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day, God Spare Our Life, I love you.
Mm-hmm.